service tonight as we're going into Vacation Bible School Week, which is always a big deal at Abiding Word Church. Children's ministry is my heart. I mean, I was the first children's pastor at this church in 1986. Church started in 85. I was brought on board in 86 after I graduated from Rhema Bible Training College, where we were just down there. Nathan, who our youth director, who was just on drums, we were down in Tulsa this whole last week, Monday through Friday. Got home Friday yesterday, but we were in the conference Tuesday through Thursday. Outstanding conference I'll talk about in a little bit. At Church on the Move, pastored by Willie George. Talk about him more in a minute. But children's ministry is the lifeblood of this church. When we first started down at the corner of 3rd Street and 5th Avenue, where Static Hair Studio is now, where you get your hair washed, that's where I used to preach, right there. So it's kind of like you get baptized, right back there where the pulpit was. Used to be a baptismal actually in the wall there behind those sinks. So I think the plumbing was already sort of there. They had to totally redo it. They did a fantastic job. Dan Weber and Kayla, they do. The building is just gorgeous. Absolutely beautiful. A wonderful place. But that's a very special place to my wife and I when we first started in ministry there, down in the basement. And kind of the northeast corner was where my office was behind the puppet stage of the children's ministry. That was my with my little wooden desk. It was about this wide and this long. I bought it at a Youth for Christ rummage sale in Tulsa, brought it home with me. That was my first desk in ministry where I would read the Bible and study the Bible and pray and prepare my lessons. And children have always been number one. If you go to the YMCA, Sterling Rock Falls Family YMCA, and sit in the area where you can watch your kids swim through the glass there. There are different tiles up on the wall that were sponsored by different people and organizations that were giving to the Y when it was built back at the turn of the century, 1999. And one of them says, Abiding Word, where kids come first. That's always been our heart. Always been our heart. Okay, before I get to doggone serious, I'm going to start with something a little funny. We're going to talk about a fella named Boudreaux, a French-Canadian up in Canada, you know, a French-Canadian. And Boudreaux was at this camp with a men's camp, a Christian men's camp. And Boudreaux had a little bit of a problem with snoring. Anybody here have a little bit of problem with snoring? Wives are elbowing their husbands as we speak. Because no wives snore, ever. But Boudreaux had this snoring problem, and his first night, his bunkmate was Andre. And Andre's there in the bunk with him, and Boudreaux just snore. He's sawing logs all night. Andre doesn't get a bit of sleep. He just watches Boudreaux snore all night. Well, the next night, Xavier's got him, and Xavier said to Andre, so what's going on? He said, oh, Boudreaux, he just snored all night. Snored all night. It was terrible. I just watched him all night. And so Xavier goes in. Sure enough, same thing. Boudreaux just snores all night. Sawing logs, making noise. Xavier can't get a wink of sleep. So the next night, he has a new bunkmate, and that was Felipe. And Felipe goes in, and he's going to be Boudreaux's bunkmate. And he comes out the next morning, and Xavier and Andre both said, so what happened? He goes, hey, I slept like a baby. Slept perfect. Slept great. Well, what happened? Neither one of us got an ounce of sleep, not a wink of sleep the whole night because of Boudreaux snoring. What did you do? He says, well, what I did is I went over, I tucked Boudreaux in, gave him a kiss on the cheek, and he watched me all night. So Felipe could sleep. All right. I'm going to ask you some simple questions. Are you ready? Okay, this is audience participation. 1 + 1 = 2. Very good, class. 1 + 1 = 2. You get a star. Excellent, excellent. Okay, the next one. 2 + 2 = 4. Excellent, excellent. You get an A. You get an A+. Now, the reason why I showed you these is because in math, these are the basics in math, in mathematics. When you started in school and they first started talking to you about learning anything concerning numbers, they would start you with 1 plus 1 equals 2. 2 plus 2 equals 4. Those are the basics. And if you don't understand the basics that we just presented, if you get those wrong, then you're not going to be able to do more difficult addition. You're not going to be able to understand subtraction or division or multiplication. You're not going to be able to go on to learn algebra or calculus or trigonometry or any of the other more, any other deeper concepts in mathematics. Now, me personally, not a math guy. But you know what? I learned the basics. I could, to this day, we go shopping, I can add everything that we bought and have it within, you know, a couple cents if I add the tax and what have you, because I learned the basics at Montmorency School. Then I worked at McDonald's in high school. And when I worked at McDonald's, this was before computers. My last, like, 2 months at McDonald's, we got the computers. You want a Big Mac? I pushed Big Mac, and it added it for you. I had a cash register. $1.25, $65, $65. That's a Big Mac, a large fry, a large Coke. And a large Coke back then was a medium Coke today, okay? We didn't have a super size, you know, the 5-gallon Coke. All right? But I could add that, add the tax on, come back, do it one time, get their money, make their change. Thank you, have a great. You folded the bag, handed it to them with the McDonald's logo showing, said, thank you for coming and please come again. Ask them for repeat business. That's what we did at McDonald's. But I learned math. I knew the basics so I could go on. Now, once you get to algebra and calculus and all the other demonic stuff, my wife was very good at that. Not the demonic stuff, the real good math. She was amazing with that stuff. When my daughters came home with the more difficult math, I'd say, talk to your mother. Now, history and English, I'm your guy. I'm your guy. Now, those are math basics. Now, let's talk some spiritual basics. Are you ready? God is, say it out loud. God is love. That's right. Very good. You got it. The next one. God loves me. Personalize it. God loves me. Yeah, he does. God loves me. And then the last one. God is not blank at you. Very good. God's not mad at you. Now, why do I give you these basics spiritually? Because that's what those are. God is love. If you do not understand that God is love, then none of the rest of the Bible is going to make sense to you. If you don't know that God loves you, loves me, personalize it, God loves me. If I don't know God loves me, if you don't know God loves you, then none of the rest of the Bible is going to make any sense. If you do not know that God's not mad at you, if you don't know that he is not disappointed in you, he's not. If you don't know that, then you're going to live a life condemned, where you're condemning yourself, you're beating yourself up, you're always thinking you're falling short, you're thinking you're never good enough. Well, in truth, none of us are good enough. But because of what Jesus did on that cross 2,000 years ago, he made you good enough. Not in and of yourself. But with our faith and trust in him, we can receive all the good things that he's promised to us because of his love. Here at Abiding Word Church, we believe in teaching the basics to adults, but also to young people, to kids. The basics are important. So very important. At the conference that Nathan and I were just at, we heard a man named Chris Hodges. Anybody here heard of Chris Hodges? He's a pastor in Birmingham. I see one hand. Anybody else besides my wife know who Chris Hodges is? He pastors a church in Birmingham, Alabama. Their weekly attendance on all their campuses is 54,000 people. You don't know who Chris Hodges is? You're going to know real soon. He was born the same week as me. I Googled it. June 1964, I went, dang it. Wow. And he got up there, and he started talking. And in the first 10 minutes, I turned to Nathan and just said, this guy's a goof. Of course, that's what some of you probably say the first 10 minutes you hear me too. So I'm in good company. But I used a different word. I said he was a dork. See, 1980s, that was fine to say. Today, I think we can't say that, but I'm still stuck in the 80s. But he's funny. He's funny, and he started sharing some things. And here's one thing that he shared. Something that we need to realize about the generations coming up now and why it's important to teach the basics. He said a young lady came up. She had gotten saved, and she was going to get baptized. And she came up, and she said, Pastor Chris, what's the dot, dot? Because they have screens like we do. We're going to be doing a little additional thing here on the stage coming up that I think you'll enjoy that will help the people watching online on Sundays. But she says, what's with the dot, dot? And he goes, what do you mean the dot, dot? This was a grown, educated woman. She's 21 years old. And he goes, what do you mean the dot, dot? Well, it says there on the screen when you read the Bible, it said, John 3, dot, dot, 16. And he said, well, that's a colon, between the delineate between the chapter and the verse that you're looking up in your Bible. Oh, she's totally serious. But she was so unchurched. She was so unfamiliar with the Bible. She didn't know what the dot, dot was. She had no idea. She understood Jesus loved her. You know what? That's a start. But you need to know what the dot, dots are. We're making sure that our kids know the word. We're making a commitment to that. And we need to realize that we're starting kids at spiritual preschool, even though they may be older than preschool in the public realm. We want to teach the basics to you and your kids. We take the admonition from Proverbs seriously. Proverbs 22, verse 6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. Now, train up means you tell them and you show them. Some of us grew up in an era where, I just tell them but I don't live it. I say it, but I don't live it. Well, there's a word for that. It's called being a hypocrite. I don't believe in being a hypocrite. If you're going to train up your child in the way they should go so that when they're old, they'll not depart from their ways, the ways of faith, the ways of the word, the ways of God, then mom and dad, parent and child, when you're training them, you need to be telling them, but then you need to be living it. Doesn't mean you're perfect. None of us are. But you better be living it the other 6 days of the week that you're not sitting with your halo in church. But you better keep that halo the other 6 days of the week. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he'll not depart from it. Show it, not just say it. Then the Bible tells us in Psalm 127, verse 3, that children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Children are a heritage. The word heritage there in the Hebrew means an inheritance. It means a possession. They're God's. Those are God's kids. They're not yours. Oh, my baby. Oh, my kids. My world revolves around my kids. My kids are number one in my life. Your life's unbalanced. First of all, if you're married, number one in your life should be your personal relationship with God. Number two should be your spouse. Not to the neglect of your children, of course not, but to your children's glory. Why? So that when your children are 15 and 20 and 30 and 40, they're looking at a mom and a dad with a marriage that's lasted 20, 40, 50 plus years. Tomorrow is my mom and dad's 57th wedding anniversary. Tomorrow. And are my mom and dad perfect? No, I'm their kid, you know. I nearly caused them to go to jail for murder, you know, probably a couple times. I have two brothers, an older brother and a younger brother. And I see my daughter Grace. She has a son and a stepson and a stepdaughter. And they were over to the house this past, a week ago. And they were running around the house. I'm not used to kids as much because my kids have grown and gotten married and moved out. And I'm sitting there trying to read a book and they're running up and down the stairs. It's like a herd of water buffalo running through my house. And I'm sitting there, I'm keeping my calm, I'm keeping my cool, but I start to chuckle because I think, how did my mom keep her sanity? I mean, we had Lambeau Field in our living room. We moved the furniture out of the way and we'd be in there playing football when mom was at Eagles buying groceries. And we had it set up so in between plays we'd run over and look and we could see the car turn off of Route 40, it was Route 88 back then, onto Thome Road, and we could have all the furniture back in, vacuum, and spray Lysol. Because it smelled like a locker room in that living room. And I think, how did my mom survive? But you know what? She did. And 57 years later, her and dad still married. Children are a heritage. Your relationship with your spouse, take care of that. Guard that. Keep that. Why? Then that's a blessing to your kids. Now, if you've been divorced or if a spouse has passed on, you know what? God's mercy, his grace is there for you. To bless you, to help you. But you should see children as a heritage. They're God's. But guess what? He has given stewardship of their lives over to you. He will hold you responsible and accountable for what you did in raising them, in training them up, saying and showing, speaking and doing, living the life in front of them. Children are as a heritage. They're a gift from God to you. They must be treated as such. If somebody, a loved one, gave you this beautiful vase, let me see it this way. They gave you a beautiful vase. And it was just an heirloom of your family and it was passed down from generation to generation. And then you inherited it from your parents. I'm telling you, you wouldn't take that thing and put it out in the garage. You'd probably find a place in the living room, the dining room, an office, you know, a special place, your bedroom, and you'd have a glass case built so that it was protected, so that your three little hooligans were going to go crashing into it when they're playing football in the living room. You'd put it in a place of honor and safety, protection. Just so your children. Your children is that priceless vase given to you by God. That's how you see them. That's how you treat them. That's how you consider their care every day of their lives. We take it seriously. Personally, I love kids. I'm a big kid. Always have been. I've always endeavored to treat children with love, but even more than love, I endeavor to treat children when I meet them with respect. Treat them with respect, the respect that they deserve. I'm not of the opinion that children should be seen but not heard. I want to sit down and talk with kids. Terry and I, we just performed a wedding here earlier this afternoon. And there were some of the young ladies were bridesmaids, you know, talking sixth, seventh, eighth graders. And afterwards, we went to a home for a small reception. And we sat at a table with all those young ladies and young men. And Terry and I talked to them. Terry and I said, hey, how are you doing? What's going on? Bah, bah, bah. And talked to them. And then we did something very important. We listened to them. That's giving them respect. Now, sometimes kids say silly things. Of course. Why? They're kids. Of course they're going to do that. But you treat them with respect. We endeavor to do that here at Abiding Word Church. We do not see children as a bother. Children are just as much a part of the church as the adults. I've heard people, I've gone to consult at other churches in our area, all over this area. In 31 years of ministry, I've consulted at churches where I've gone, I've sat down. They say, man, what do you guys do? How come you have so many children? Why is your church growing, et cetera, et cetera? And I'll tell them our secret sauce is our children's ministry. You've got to make that a priority. But some people have the idea that children should be seen and not heard. That children's ministry is, you know, you're just throwing money down a hole. Nothing could be further from the truth. We had one church outside of the area come and visit us on a Saturday night, which happens from time to time. And after the service, I did a personal tour of, this was years and years and years ago, and right after we moved in the building. And we were over here in the West Wing. That's what I call the children's ministry. The West Wing of the White House is where the president and his staff are. The West Wing of our church, and that's a place of honor and respect. The West Wing of our church is our children's ministry area, place of honor and respect. And I took them into the classrooms, and there were people of different ages from this church coming to check things out. And I remember we were standing in the nursery, and the ladies were going around and looking at the decor and looking at the equipment and looking how we had it all set up. And they were just marveling at it and thought it was fantastic and wonderful. And there was an old fellow kind of sitting there going, you know, we get some kids in our church, we'll build something like this. And I did this. No, you build something like this and then you'll get kids. And he kind of went, I saw the switch flip in his head. Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying you have to do what we did, but I'm saying if you make children a priority, you'll draw children. If you make children a priority, they will learn and grow. You listen and talk to kids. They'll respond. Sometimes kids are shocked because you're listening to them. You're actually listening to them, and so many kids have this attitude where they're just talked at. But you really want to know what I think? Yeah, what do you think? Here's another thing I've heard when I've consulted. You know, we need to do something for children because they're the church of tomorrow. Wrong. If you have that attitude, that's why you don't have kids. Children are just as much the church of today as we are. They have Jesus in their heart. They're part of the church of Jesus Christ, the body of Christ. Jesus died for them just as much as he died for you. I know you write the checks and put them in the envelope. And I know children are not financial contributors to this church, but they contribute so much to our joy, to the life of any church. So see your children as the church of the day, we do. Here at Abiding Word, we want to make our classrooms a place of fun and learning. We have some posters up as you check in. I look at them every time I go around that corner. I'll glance up at them. They're the bedrock principles. They are the God's not mad at you, the 2 + 2 = 4 of our children's ministry. And they say this, God made me, God loves me. Jesus wants to be my friend forever. Or is my forever friend, my friend forever. God made me. God loves me. Jesus wants to be my friend forever. Those basics, kids are walking out of those the nursery and the 2s and 3s, 4s and 5s area. They know that. That has been drilled into them week after week after week after week. Why? Because it's 2 + 2 = 4. when they're going into 252, into our first through fifth grade, our children's church, they got a grasp. They got a hold on it. God made me. God loves me. Jesus wants to be my friend forever. Which brings me to this coming week, Vacation Bible School. When I became pastor of this, when I came on as children's pastor, I was the assistant pastor, youth pastor, children's pastor in 1986, got here in May. That summer, probably in August, we always did it in August. Most churches, summer starts and they have VBS. They just have VBS right out of the chute. We kind of waited until later in the summer, and we just did that. And we had our Vacation Bible School in that August, and we got Gospelville Vacation Bible School. How many of you remember that? Yeah, Vacation Bible School from Gospelville. Willie George, who pastors Church on the Move, it's a church of nearly 20,000 people down there in Tulsa, and they're just going gangbusters. That's the conference we were at, Nathan and I were at this week. And we would get the VHS recorder tapes, and we would play them. And Gospelville was a cowboy character. And along with Nicodemus was his deputy. I talked to Nicodemus while I was at the conference. Ken Blunt. He's no longer at Church of the Movies. He's itinerating. We're going to have Ken Blunt come preach for us next year. We're going to have Nicodemus come to our church. So you big kids, you'll freak out. It's cool. But we used that curriculum, Willie George's curriculum, and it was just amazing. We have just hundreds and hundreds of kids come every year to our Vacation Bible School. Vacation Bible School is like summer camp. There's something special about VBS. It's like a rite of passage, yes, but it's so much more than that. Vacation Bible School is a time where adults and kids come together and they have a blast. They play just messy games, fun, messy games, but there are principles drilled home into those children's hearts and minds that will affect them forever. I can, to this day, I can close my eyes and remember different crafts that we made at Vacation Bible School. Lincoln Avenue Church of God when I was a little boy. 7th Street and Lincoln Avenue. Remember stick matches? I remember my mom's at home striking all the stick matches and blowing them out because they needed them for a craft. And we took this piece of cardboard, and it was cut out to look like a cross, and we glued all those burnout match sticks onto that and made a cross. My mom kept that for years. There's another time where, how many of you remember ViewMasters? Remember? ViewMasters. I mean, this was big time, kids, back, this is in the 70s. Okay, ViewMaster. But I learned the books of the Bible in order, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, etc. I learned the books of the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament. Me, my cousin Robin, my cousin Vicky. We all learned the books of the Bible in order. I was 10 years old, I learned the books of the Bible in order, and I won a 3D Jesus ViewMaster. I mean, this thing, it was it, man. It was 3D Jesus ViewMaster. And a watermelon. I don't know why. But my mom has a photo. I wanted to go find it this week because I knew I was going to be talking about it. A picture of me and Robin and Vicky holding our watermelons. Why weren't we holding our ViewMasters? No, we're holding. I'm 10 years old. The watermelon's half as big as I am. You know, I was a little kid and it almost devoured me, you know. But it was yummy. But I remember that from Vacation Bible School. I can remember one Vacation Bible School. It was during the Petunia Festival. And they had a man in Dixon come to the Petunia Festival. And he spoke in the Dixon High School gym at Lancaster Gym. And he was Abraham Lincoln's cousin. Descendant, of course. Abraham Lincoln's mother's name was Nancy Hanks, was her maiden name. This man's name was Bruce Hanks. He was a descendant of Nancy Hanks on his Lincoln's mother's side, and he was a pastor in southern or central Illinois, and the man looked like Lincoln. I've seen some Lincoln imitators, and it's like, go home. You're not even close, dude. Yeah, you got a beard and you got the suit, but that's about as far as it goes, man. This guy had the mole on the face like Lincoln. He had the nose. He looked like Abraham Lincoln. And he came out at the Petunia Festival. Hundreds of people in the gymnasium. Was anybody here at that? Remember this? This is in Dixon. I'm sitting in the front row with my father, my friend Kevin Willis, who's in the gospel quartet that traveled through, that sang here last year, and Bible Joe. Y'all know Bible Joe? Bible Joe's having heart surgery this week up in Rockford, so be praying for him. But Bible Joe's sitting next to me, and he's telling Kevin and I, now, boys, you don't be playing some of those games at the Petunia Festival. They're rigged. Like the one where you put money down and the mouse runs around. You remember that one when they had that at the Petunia Festival? That was great. I liked watching the mouse. The mouse would run around and run down a hole, and if you had, it was gambling, but hey, it's the Petunia Festival. So he's telling us not to do this. And suddenly the Lincoln guy comes out, and he does this whole dramatic reading of Lincoln, and it was awesome and great. And I'm sitting there, I'm just mesmerized because I've been a Lincoln buff since I was 3. And he's up there, and finally, after about an hour, he's finished and he's turned, and he had put his shawl, his overcoat, on a coat hanger on the stage, and he took it off and he said, I'm sorry, folks, but I'm going to have to be leaving. My wife Mary's made an appointment for us tonight. We're going out to the theater here in Washington. We're going to Ford's Theater to see Our American Cousin, and I'm on the front row, and I went, don't go! I'm 8. My father's hand. God's got a gun! Well, the next day, you know, after that whole fiasco, my dad's saying, why don't you keep your mouth shut? Daddy's gonna get shot! It's not Lincoln! Oh, yeah. He's dead, huh? But the next day at Vacation Bible School at Lincoln Avenue Church of God, I'm sitting up in the first couple rows with my cousin Donnie, my cousin Tracy, my cousin Charles, and Kevin and everything. And we're sitting there, and Velma Willis, Kevin's mother, she says, we have a very special guest today. And as she's saying this, I hear the back door open, the door of the church. And we had windows in the doors going into the lobby, and I did this. And I see Lincoln walking in the back door. She must have went to him and said, hey, would you come to our VBS tomorrow morning? And I'm nudging Kevin going, hey, Lincoln's here. No way. And so he went down the basement, came back up and around. And he came up and he did a very biblical-based Lincoln's talk, being a pastor, about Lincoln's faith and all these different things. And then he started firing off Lincoln questions. And I'm out there going, boom, boom. Everyone he asked, I raised my hand, I'd answer. None of the other kids even got a hand up. I'm like, yeah, Hodgenville, Kentucky, February 12, 1809. He was 6'4 and a half. One foot was bigger than the other one. He was elected in 1860. He was re-elected in 1864. Blah, blah, blah. I'm just answering questions. The kids are all looking at me like, "What? Where did you come from?" And he finally stopped me, and how old would Lincoln be on his next birthday? And I didn't do the math quick enough because I hadn't worked at McDonald's yet. I missed it by like 1 year. Where was that at? That was at VBS. I have so many great memories from Vacation Bible School. So many times we think, oh, we got to make great memories. We've got to go to, and you name some far-off land where you have to spend a bunch of money. Guess what? Bring your kids to VBS. We're the cost of gas money. Bring your friends. Bring your kids' friends. Vacation Bible School is a place where people learn Jesus and memories are made. Memories your kids will remember for years and years and years. 99% good, 1-2% just hysterically funny, that things that you'll remember. So many people put so much time and effort into the presentation. Like my wife, like Pastor Terry said, this isn't a VBS bought out of a box. Not that there's anything wrong with that. This is produced here. Written here, produced here, acted, the whole nine yards. It's Vacation Bible School. that your kids will never forget. So much time and effort has been put into this VBS and into our children's ministry every week. It's something that people need to realize. Vacation Bible School is a wild week. It's a week of fun. But you know what? Our kids have that kind of fun most weeks here at Abiding Word Church. We put that same effort. We put that same blood, sweat, and tears into it. Why? Because at Abiding Word Church, kids come first. And as long as I'm the pastor of this church, good Lord willing, the creek don't rise, and the creek's been rising, children's ministry is going to be front and center. Youth ministry, front and center. Why? They're a heritage of the Lord. And we have been commanded by God to train them up in the ways of the Lord, to train them up, to teach them, to love them, to train them, to show them the basics, to live the basics, to speak the basics, so that they can learn and grow in the things of God and fulfill the plan and purpose, the destiny that God has for their life. And that's a powerful thing. Amen. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your mercy, your goodness, and your love. We thank you, Father God, that we know that 1 + 1 = 2. We know that 2 + 2 = 4. Father, we know that you love us. We know that you are love. We know that you're not mad at us. Father, sometimes we fail. But Father, I thank you that because of the blood of Jesus, we can bring our sin to you and confess our sin in true repentance. And you forgive us. You don't just forgive us, you restore us. In Jesus' name. Everybody look up at me real quick. Something I want you to realize. I want you to realize that in life, life's like climbing a ladder. And you're going up that ladder. And over the days and the weeks and the months, the years that you serve God in your local church, in your life, there are times where you stumble and you fall. And you fall off and you fall down so many rungs. You get angry when you shouldn't have gotten angry. You honk your horn and yell at that person that tried to cut you off and say some words that maybe you shouldn't have. Lose our temper. Sins of commission, sins of omission. Things that we know to do that are right, we don't do. But here's the truth. Godly sorrow comes and you repent. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, this is written to Christians, if we confess our sins, he, God, is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Say you were in rung 452, and because of your anger, your sin, what have you, you fall in life's ladder down to 338. From 452 to 338, and so many times we feel like, oh man, no, I got to start back over. Or maybe you really lost it, and you fall away back to the bottom of the ladder, fall to the ground. And you think, I got to start all over, oh my Lord. And so many times people get condemned at that point in their life, and as a result, they just walk away from the ladder. They walk away from living. They walk away from serving God. And they walk away from church. Here's the truth. If you come to God in godly repentance and sorrow and repent of your sin according to 1 John 1:9, you're not just forgiven. God puts you back at 452. You don't have to start over. He restores you. And he declares you righteous because of the blood of Jesus, not because of anything. If we could do it ourselves, then none of us deserve it. But because of what Jesus did, his mercy, his grace is sufficient. So with heads bowed and eyes closed right now, we're going to pray, and then Pastor Terry's going to come and close things up. If you're here tonight and you've never received, number one, you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, and today you want to receive Christ as your Savior. Here's what the Bible says, that if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, you'll be saved. That's step one. You believe, you confess. Jesus is Lord. He comes into your heart. He changes you. He makes you a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things become new. And you will walk out here a different person than when you walked in. If you've never received Jesus, I want you to pray with me right now. And you can receive that rest, that forgiveness that God offers. Or you might be here and you say, Pastor Scott, I've received Jesus at one time in my life, but for whatever reason, you walked away from that commitment that you made and you've been out doing your own thing and you've made some wrong turns and you need to recommit your life to the Lord. If that's you, I want to pray with you right now too. Remember, one of those cards said, God's not mad at you. He's waiting with open arms, waiting for his son, his daughter, who you still are. He's waiting for you to come home. And he's ready and willing to forgive you. So if you're in that situation, you pray with us right now too. I invite all the Christians here tonight, if you would agree with us in prayer, all the family here at Abiding Word, if you'd agree with us in prayer, let's all pray out loud together right now. Just right out loud. Say this with me. Say, Dear God in heaven, I thank you for Jesus. I believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sin. I believe he rose from the grave. And he's alive today. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. I want to live for you who died for me. And from this day forward, regardless of what comes, I'm going to serve Jesus Christ all the days of my life. I love you, Lord. Thank you for loving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Praise God. Everybody look up. Oh, praise God. I believe in God's changing lives. Even as we sit here, as I speak, God's changing lives here tonight. Amen. We certainly love and are thankful that you are here with us tonight. If you'd like to come back and see us next week, we'd sure love that. If you're ever out of the area or cannot make it on a Sunday morning, our services are online live at abidingwordchurch.org or on my Facebook page. If you're Facebook friends with me, you can go to my Facebook page and watch it live right there, the praise and worship, the announcements, the service, the whole thing right there as well. And on the church app, if you have not, if you have a smartphone and you want to download the Abiding Word Church app, just go to your app store and find it and download it. If you've got a smartphone, if you've got a dumb phone, well, just come to church and we'll preach to you. All right.